And gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Report, Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman together over something called the Hagman Report. A couple of investigators just doing what we do, offering you our assessment and evaluation of what's taking place, the headlines, or the news behind the headlines, I should say. We broadcast live for those not knowing, weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here in the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for carrying our program, as well as BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Good people there as well. And, of course, right here on YouTube, live, and by archive. And don't forget, we've got two separate websites, HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com. The latter, of course, is for the show. The former, HagmanReport.com, is the meet the news tidbits, things that are important, I think, that we think that you should really hone in on.
And HagmanReport.com, just to let people know,
yes,
instead of sometimes websites are updated once a day, and then we have our show in the evening, so sometimes a lot of people check right before the show. What I've been doing is putting 5 or 6 stories up 3 different times during the day, and I did that for the last week, and I think I'm going to keep doing it like that. Gets a better variety of the news.
Well, the headlines are changing really on an hourly basis, so we really have to understand. You know, I really think we do.
Well, the reason I said that is because on HagmanReport.com, when you scroll down, when you get to the news section from the wires, it only shows 6 of the latest stories. You have to click load more to see the rest of the story. So don't stop at just the 6, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah, drill down on that. And a couple of things before we get to our guest, and I'm just so excited to have this. Our upcoming guest is, I mean, folks, you're talking about really classing up the broadcast. We're moving up a notch to class up our act. Before we get to our guest, I just want to mention that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Whole Tones Live, WholeTonesLive.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. In there, take advantage of the music, something I consider a great pleasure in life. Take advantage of the power that music has, the power to bring a tear to your eye or quiet a racing mind. More on that later. WholeTonesLive.com. One other announcement as well, folks. I'm being told that the conference that we're going to be at here in, 3 weeks now? May 5th and 6th, or less than 3, I don't know, a couple of weeks, whenever that is, in north of Chicago, or Gurnee, Illinois, Awaken to the Shaken is selling out quickly. So it's a free, attendance is free. You just have to register. Go to the website. It's, what is it? Is it Awaken?
PaulBegleyProphecy.com. There you will find the Awaken to the Shaken graphic.
Got it.
And the registration is free.
It's on our site, too, I guess.
Yeah, it is on our site.
So right.
The registration is free, but you, as my dad said yesterday, you have to register if you want to go. There is limited seating available, and you can't just show up without being registered because you probably won't get in.
Yeah.
So make sure you register.
Plus, we'll have to charge you admission if you don't register, and then we're going to have to do a TSA grope up on you, right? So, anyway, Kate Daly, nationally recognized radio host. You have seen her. You know her voice. You've seen her. She is currently on the Fox News affiliate, KZNU. Listeners from around the world stream her show, daily 3-hour political talk show, and yet she comes back for more, like tonight. She's a professional, a true professional. So unlike us, she is, which is why she's interviewed people like Ben Carson, Sybelle Edmonds, Syrian girl, Victoria Tensing. Oh my goodness. The list goes on and on. She's been, everywhere. Brian Kilmeade, she's interviewed as well from Fox and Friends and many others. Without any further ado, let's bring on Kate Daly. Kate, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, nice to be with you. I love what you guys do. I'm a big fan. And let me tell you, we need more of you. We need more people speaking out and talking about the truth than ever before. If I have to listen to one more talking head read a script, I'm going to puke. I don't even know what to say anymore. It's the media is out of control, and we've got to do something about this. And my show is national, but it's so fascinating, the calls I get, because people are waking up. I love this event that you're talking about, Awaken to the Shaken. I mean, that's perfectly said. We have to be awake right now. We don't have any time to spare. We've just got to. So I love being here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks for coming on, Kate. No shortage of topics to get into tonight. I guess a good place to start will be North Korea and the geopolitical situation, stemming from North Korea, China, and then into Syria. There's a lot of saber rattling, a lot of warmongering going on.
Yeah, what's up with the Teletubby out there? Seriously, I mean.
Well, what a great place to start. You guys are great. Okay, so I just did a whole show today, and I never do a whole show on one topic, but I did a whole show today on the war playbook, and really examining World War One, because you have to go to that to understand the roots of the Middle East, to understand how we there were two reasons we went into World War One, and one was the push to oil over coal, and the other one was to make sure that we divvied up the Ottoman Empire into all of the the Illuminati from everybody in the deep state wanted their little cut of piece of the pie, and sitting around a table decided how they were going to slice the world up. And so that really became the playbook for war ever since. And I've had people come on my show and say, but we needed that war. Well, when you start to ask them, well, why did we need to be in that war? Let's examine the backdrop. Let's walk that back to a principle, and let's say we didn't actually need to be there. So when we look at the events of today, and I look at how I've interviewed several people on the ground in Syria as journalists, independent journalists, not the bought and sold kind that we get, but actual independent, not Brian Williams, but the actual independent journalists that are there are saying, and of course I believe it, that here we are again in another coup, right in the middle of it, but we can't see it. We've been doing this for decades, but we can't see it. And Assad did not murder his people. He is not killing his people. He's not gassing his people. And you do not become a monster overnight. And so when people say, well, he's a psychopath, a dictator, and he's killing his own people, well, thank you for the phrases AP and Reuters. Thank you for spitting that out so that all of America can regurgitate those two statements over and over again. And so it really has been a struggle, because I receive a lot of backlash on a show like this, on my show, because of my stance. But we have to examine history, and then we have to understand the playbook, and we've got to know how these pieces coordinate. Now, Trump is a different figure, a little bit different. But he's making some moves. Are these moves part of a plan we don't understand, or is he being manipulated by the people he has chosen to be around him? Well, we're trying to figure this out, aren't we? And what will this mean? If you look back in the headlines with North Korea, you're going to see a host of headlines for the last 10 years. They're on the brink of this. They're on the brink of that. The big threat. I get it. And yes, there could be things that are happening. But China putting 150,000 troops on the border, and basically they're playing, kind of a few games right now, a few little war games right now. But I think what's most important to understand is the vested interests at heart are still the vested interests at heart before World War One, and that we can even go back further than that, of course. But we have to make sure that we understand how the game is played, and then we have to look at all the pieces and all the people, and then you always ask who benefits. Who's going to benefit off of this? And so it's tough for me, because I have a ton of people saying all the time, yeah, but we got to just flex our muscle. Hey, look, I understand after being under the reign of Obama for 8 years that you want to do something, but do something. What do you mean just do something? We have to make sure that what we're doing is right, constitutional, heaven forbid we say the will of God, right? And also that we are doing things that we can maybe show those in power that we see their game. And that we understand their game, so there's more reason than ever for all of us to be able to wake up to this this horrendous game that we're in the middle of, that we're pawns of, and make sure that we understand what's going on.
Interesting choice of words, pawns in the game, William Guy Carr. Interesting book to read, and it kind of lays out some of the elements that you were talking about. But I especially like how you went back to World War One, because I believe past is prologue, and I think we can learn a lot from what happened. So, all right. So, Wow.
I know, there's so
much. Yeah.
Yeah, there's almost too much news. I mean, we have a lot of information and not a lot of knowledge. Do you know who said that? Assad. He said your media is screwing with us.
Well, I saw a recent interview. I think it was with a German interviewer. It was 21, 22 minutes long. I'm not exactly sure. I think it was taken within the last 12 months, but it was pretty enlightening when you look at it from his perspective. I'm not sticking up for him at all, but
he did the interview with Charlie Rose, and there was the one you're referring to. Then there was one he did just recently where I didn't see the video, but I read the transcripts where he talked about the chemical attack being fabricated, and that the video was false, and how we can't trust the video.
Well, Kate said, who benefits?
Exactly. You know. And the gas attack is something that I have a big problem with, especially after you had the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. and Tillerson both say that regime change in Syria was not a priority anymore. And then instantly, boom, you know, a week later, there's these alleged gas attacks. It's very suspicious.
Yes. And then, of course, we use the word depose. You know, it's kind of like with abortion. We just say choice. And then, of course, it doesn't matter what they're actually doing. And then we say depose. And that means go murder somebody. But I believe we do have dictators in the world, but we paint the dictators we want. You know, I played an interview clip of Madeleine Albright in the mid-90s talking about the massacre of 500,000 children. And she was asked by 60 Minutes, well, are you affected by this? I mean, this is horrible. And you know what she said? Well, it was a hard choice. Wow, the empathy. I don't even know what to do with that much empathy. It was a hard choice. So the media didn't want us to care about that. And voila, we don't care about it because they don't talk about it and they don't do a montage story and they don't prop it up and get the tears flowing. And so, of course, we're not emotionally invested into it. And we care about what the media wants us to care about, plain and simple. And if they want to paint a dictator the way they want to paint it, we will see the dictator that way, and then we'll all walk around regurgitating these media fabricated lines about the person. And if you go look at an interview like Charlie Rose, like you just said, if you go look at an interview with him, the whole time, you know what he's talking about? Principles. And when asked, are you a good leader? You know what he said? In total humility. He goes, you know what? Ask my people, ask my citizenry, because they're the only ones that can tell you I'm a good leader. And if I'm not, they'll be the ones that can tell you that also. I cannot tell you that about myself because I serve them. So this isn't a monster. This isn't a monster killing his people. And we have got to wake America up. This has gone on too many times in a row for us to still get swooped into this kind of thinking. And
And the interview, you know, you did with Charlie Rose, I've been thinking about that this week and last week, because I was wondering to myself, you know, is it bad that the way he came across that I actually, you know, have more respect for him than when I, you know, did not see an interview with him before.
Right.
But, you know, the way that the media has been, as you said, you know, the script readers, the way that they've been putting out the narrative and the nonsense and the insanity.
So
it's enough to just want to, you know, blow your brains out. And we can't fall for the propaganda and buy into another false scenario that brings us to war. You're exactly right.
Yeah, and I do believe Syria is, and I've written about this in the past, I've spoken about this in the past, Kate. My intelligence sources, I've got two very critical sources who have just insisted that Syria is the flashpoint for the Third World War, a continuation. It's not going to be North Korea, it's not going to be Iran, it's going to be Syria. That's what has been given to me. So, okay.
Well, yeah, the pipeline, the oil. They find an oil field in 2013. We'll announce the oil field in 2013, I should say. And then all of the sudden, John Kerry's saying that he's a monster. And maybe he gassed his people. We don't really know, but we're kind of thinking he did. I thought that was the funniest article I've ever read, was the very first one where he says, allegedly, we think. And of course, the pipeline. The Nabucco pipeline is huge. And, of course, who grabs Syria grabs the surrounding regions, too, because that pipeline is such a major deal, and I don't know if people realize the control over the Middle East. We've got to get our hooks into that country, and if we don't, we stand to lose some of that control. So I agree with you guys.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, what we saw so far with the Trump's response, that's the beginning and end of it.
But wait a second. Is it just the oil pipeline, Kate?
Is there a natural gas pipeline?
Nabucco. Right. It's the Nabucco pipeline, and then, of course, the oil field that they found that puts out more than Qatar's. Well, I mean, Qatar doesn't really like that. They in fact, in the past, Syria was only 0.05% of the whole population of oil in their exporting, and then all of a sudden they find a very large field, and all of a sudden we want it. So, you know, we didn't paint him a dictator before that, I'll tell you that. And, of course, the Nabucco pipeline, when he decided to go with his own allies, which he has every position to do, Russia and Iran, if he wants to work with who he wants to work with, he's an independent country. He doesn't play the Rothschilds banking game of monopoly. And so he doesn't want to play ball, and he didn't want to play ball. And, of course, now what do? Just paint him as a dictator that needs to be deposed. Sad.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what's really sad is that people continue to believe in the stories that are presented to them without doing any type of research. And we've seen this even more since this presidential election. I want to kind of switch gears. I got an article here. Wesleyan College student newspaper endorses violence against unpopular speech. Somebody who writes for the Wesleyan College newspaper goes on to say that violence is justified if people do not bend to the progressive norms and acquiesce to the progressive norms. And then they go on to talk about hate speech. Anybody who talks hate speech is not free speech, and violence should be used against them. But this all speaks to the bigger agenda of the political correctness, social justice warrior narrative. And we've seen such an increase in these types of people since the election, and they seem to continue to grow. Would you classify this as some kind of mental disorder? What's going on here? You know, these are the same people who looked at Christianity and looked at people who believed in Christianity and says, you know, don't shove your religion down my face. You can believe what you want, but I don't want to have to hear it. Now these people will go around and they promote tolerance, yet they say if you don't believe the way that they think is right, then you know, violence is okay against you, and what you believe is basically hate and racism.
It's so upside down in this country, can I just tell you. I just covered a story the other day about the San Diego School District introducing Islamic anti-bullying lessons for the kids. Now, if you do the numbers, if you really go to the math, which they never announced in the article, it was this. You basically have maybe up to 10, maybe even 3 Islamic students in each school. So basically what they want to do is make sure that all of the students in the San Diego School District get this type of propaganda. And I call it propaganda because it's always under the guise of anti-bullying. Always. It's either anti-bullying, tolerance, or awareness. I hate the word awareness. It's kind of like the whole cancer, the cancer groups, you know, like the Susan G. Komen. We just want to make everybody aware. Everybody's aware already. We're aware. We got it. But that money is funneled to the people, right? It's not funneled to the actual research. Same thing with this that's going on with our school districts right now, and the propaganda that our children are facing is that it's done under the guise of an anti-bullying campaign. Because if you are against anti-bullying campaigns, you might as well walk around kicking puppies, because that's basically who you are in America. So you can't say that in America anymore. And that's the way they silence you, is by saying you can't be against this. Well, I'll tell you, there was a school, I think it was in Michigan, who had an LGBTQRSVUP meeting, whatever it was, and it was all under this guise of anti-bullying. Well, it was really a propaganda, how to search for yourself and question who you are all the time and question your sexuality. And so these kids, what they do is they get roped into this, and then they get taught political speak, and then they have to speak that political speak. Do liberal progressives need a lobotomy? Yes, yes, I'm in favor, because they don't logic anything out. It's almost as if they have this nice idea that makes the whole world a really groovy place to live in, but it doesn't go for, you can't walk that back, walk it forward 6 months later, because 6 months later you're taking freedoms and liberties away from everybody else in order to have this dreamy world that they're trying to concoct. So in a world where nobody can be offended, I wrote a piece on gay and lesbian. I basically said, look, if you want to do that, I'm okay with you. I'll support you living your own life and your own choices behind your own closed door. But just don't venture into my rights. Stay away from my rights, and I have no problem with this whatsoever. You just go do what you want to do. I don't agree with it. Don't expect me to like it. Don't expect me to endorse it. But just go live your life. So put the protest sign down and just go live your life, and I'll go live mine. And believe me, your rights are not being hinged on every 5 seconds. You're fine. Stop with the protesting. And so I do these kinds of things. And then, and a girl contacted me and she said, yes, but what if I'm offended? And I said, well, what if you're offended? I mean, my gosh, are you ready to melt, little snowflake? Of course you're going to be offended. I'm going to be offended. You're going to discriminate. I'm going to discriminate. This is the world in which we live in. Get used to it. This is why we have freedom. You either get freedom or free stuff. You either get freedom or you get told what to say. I want freedom, and I'm okay with being offended. You either, in America, we should be able to make the choice to make the cake and make the choice whether you want to buy the cake. But to tell the person that wants to buy the cake that they get to infringe on the rights of the person that gets to make the cake, now we have a problem. Now we have more rights for one group, less rights for another. And so what are they doing to our kids? They are selling them on this notion of equality, but it's actually inequality. And what are they selling them on? This is anti-bullying? No, actually, it's propaganda. That's what they're learning. It's so sad to me that we live in a world where we now have to fight for Christianity. We have to actually fight for a voice against the few people in the population that are getting all of the attention. And then if you say anything to them, it doesn't mean you hate them. It just means that you have an opinion too, but you're supposed to squash yours so that makes theirs more relevant. It just doesn't make sense. Everything is sort of upside down. I vote lobotomy. I'm going to go with lobotomy. I'm going to go with pure lobotomy. Let's just do it.
I mean, it does seem completely insane. And this Wesleyan College article, just to make sure I was clear, says that justifying violence against anyone who either continues to speak hate speech or refuses to adapt their beliefs of progressive norms, hostility may be warranted. This is the direction that we're moving in. And tomorrow we have the free speech rally in Berkeley. Everybody remembers that when Milo Yiannopoulos went to Berkeley, I believe it was in the beginning of March, to speak.
And Coulter tomorrow.
Yeah, there was riots last time.
Yeah, Kate, you go, and what do you think, man?
You know what? I don't want my kids to go to a liberal university. Is that sad? I'm telling my kids, you know what? Pick something else. You're good. You know, did you know Chicago just recently said, Rahm Emanuel, good old Rahm, said that he is going to force kids to choose a government college. Otherwise, they don't get a diploma. Wow. How's that for a mayor becoming the dictator over education in Chicago? My show airs in Chicago. I'm dying over this. I mean,
a government college or they don't get a diploma?
Yes, a government-approved college, or they don't get a diploma, all in the name of helping these kids to succeed. Didn't you know?
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad. It's getting really bad. We're going to have to homeschool. I'm not joking. It is that bad. It's that bad.
And homeschooling is definitely, in my opinion, if you have the time and the resources to do so, is definitely the best option, especially in today's culture. Where kids are just being, as you said, it's not about education, it's not about teaching or learning, it's about indoctrination and brainwashing. And
we see it,
especially in the universities, more now than ever. And I just, as you said, the lobotomy, I just don't see how so many people fall for this. I don't know what it is.
Are they missing
something? Do they have an extra chromosome? What is it that all logic and common sense could get removed?
They pat themselves on the back for being nice and kind. And the problem is they're so busy patting themselves on the back, they don't realize that they are ripping the rights away from somebody else to do that. And in their own mind, they think that they're just pretty great. And all the world should be like them and make their choices and do what they do. And so, and if they don't, they're going to force them. So that sounds more of a communist rule, doesn't it? Than the republic that we're supposed to live in. I cover the Constitution a lot on my show because we try and get back to observing our constitutional rights and understanding them, because the thing wasn't written in Chinese. We are all capable of understanding the Constitution, even though the Supreme Court would make it look as though you have to have a legal team behind you to even understand even three words of it. That isn't true. It's very easy to understand, but we've moved so far away from it because of what we've allowed to develop in this country. It's kind of like the party system. There aren't two real parties. It's all one. And until we finally see that, it's kind of like somebody showing you one of those paintings and you don't see the dots, and then all of a sudden you see the picture and you can't unsee it. I was talking with an EPA guy, and he didn't know I was a talk show host. And so I won't name names, but he's very high up in the EPA. And I asked him, I said, so what happens with the president change? I mean, to the EPA? And he says, oh, it's business as usual, nothing. I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes the budget gets slim, sometimes the budget gets a little fatter, but it's all business as usual. We all get our pet projects. And I thought, I wish America was listening right now so they would actually believe somebody in government saying this. But this is the kind of world that we need to tell our kids that they live in. And we can't do that because when you go to the public school now, if you're going to go to a Roman school, you're going to come out a Roman. And then we're all shocked when they all come out through the college system as a liberal. This is the problem in America. I take my kids to breakfast, right, on the weekends. And I call it re-education breakfast because we have to be schooled on all things that are actually going on in the world, not what the talking heads tell us. And that's why I like what you guys do, because you're invested in truth. Truth is so important these days, and I think when you feel truth and know truth and come across truth, you can't unsee it. And if we don't start turning this boat around and making sure that we all are seeing the same set of dots in the same picture, we're never going to change this. We can't get our country back. But you know what, though? Before I started on this journey of talk radio, I was so clueless. You guys, I read People magazine. If you asked me anything about a star, I could tell you their entire relationship process and children's names. I'm not joking. That's all I used to do until I had this wake up where I was thrown on a talk show actually. And I actually that day had to start researching and reading. It's crazy. This is crazy.
And many of us were the same way. I used to be the same way with sports. You know, especially football, knew all, you know, every team's record and who, you know, was on whose team. And then at some point, you know, the other things become more important and become the priority. Folks, we're up against our break. It's a 3-minute break. We're talking with Kim DeLay.
Kim with DeLay who? Show.
Kim Daly.
Kate Daly.
I'm sorry.
We're good.
We'll be right back after this.
Kate Daly. All right.
Oh,
man.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden.
exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
You folks didn't know we were having actresses from the early 2000s on, or the late 90s, like Kim Delaney. I'm just kidding. I have to kid around yeah, my son Joe, yeah. Right?
We butcher at least one name a week.
Well, more than that.
I'm the name murderer. Go ahead.
our guest, of course, is Kate Dolly's show. Tomorrow, she does programs for the Blaze, and tomorrow she's dedicating a program to Assad. Well, the name of the segment is Assad Did Not Gas His Own People, so very interesting. I'm going to be tuning into that tomorrow, absolutely 100% sure. And of course, you can read about Kate Dolly on our website as well. And just look on the screen. The link to her show is right there. Before we get back to our guest, Whole Tones Live. I told you about this before, but folks, music, one of life's greatest pleasures. Please understand when I tell you this. It's got tremendous power. It's got the power to bring a tear to one's eye or to quiet a racing mind. Notice I need that. Music also has the power to heal and has been used through the ages to treat depression, create energy, induce sleep, relieve chronic pain, reduce stress, none here, and even cure diseases. Again, disease-free, right? Yeah. And now, musician and author, somebody who we had on our show, Michael Terrell, has created Whole Tones, the healing music frequency projects. These frequencies were studied in the music of King David and were believed to have astounding healing effects. They do. I believe that. My dog, Lady Studio Dog, loves these sounds. I mean, loves the music. She will snore. She will go into a deep sleep with this music. Now you can benefit from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening daily to this music in the comfort of your own home, car, or office. Folks, we're already into, well, Easter time. This can be no greater gift, I think. Reward yourself with the gift of healing and transformation. Don't miss this opportunity to get an absolutely free sample of this music so you can begin benefiting right now. Support this show. Go to wholetoneslive.com. Get a free sample of these soothing, relaxing, revitalizing musical tones. Go to the URL. I'm going to spell it for you. W-H-O-L-E, whole, like entire, wholetoneslive.com today for your free sample. That's wholetoneslive.com. One more time, wholetoneslive.com. And again, our guest is Kate Dolly with KateDollyRadio.com.
It's like Valley. Dally, Kate Dolly. But that's okay. Yeah. Right. I mean, my gosh. I mean, I was on Oprah show and she said daily, and I'm like, I don't know, whatever. I'll just go. But you know, it's totally good. And on The Blaze, it's The Kate Show. It's easy.
I like that.
I know. Right?
You're a trailblazer. You really are. And believe it or not, we should have known that, but it's all right. We're not.
I was starting off this segment.
Friday.
Okay, starting off this segment, I saw a story today, and we've seen a lot of these stories and stories like it. Sweden won't deport asylum seekers accused of broadcasting gang rape on Facebook.
Wow.
What we're seeing with Europe and the continued push to bring refugees and specifically Muslims into the Western nations, we saw a few weeks back the EU issue a warning to, I believe it was Hungary and maybe Poland, saying, you know, sure, if you don't take X amount of refugees in, you're not going to be part of the EU anymore. We right. see the continued violence that the refugees are bringing into these Western nations, from terrorist attacks to the increasing amounts of sexual assaults, both in Europe and here in the United States. Yet they keep trying to force this down our throat. How do you see this playing out? Will the citizens get to a point where they, you know, say enough is enough? Or will they be able to flood, they being the globalists, be able to flood the West with enough refugees to destabilize the West?
You know, it's an interesting question, because I think we have every single reason and right to verify who's coming in here. And the fact that we got so laxed doesn't mean that that's the norm. It shouldn't be the norm. It never should have been the norm. And we have every right to know who's coming into this country. And the immigration from the 1940s can't compare to the immigration of today because of the last 40 years of war upon war upon war for special interests, not for security. Special interests has brought a lot of backlash as well. So you have a lot of people coming into this country that, yes, don't want to be here. A, they want to be in their own country, and they're angry that we have gone in and destabilized. And then the second thing you have are people that really do want to come in and bring harm. Now, what do you do with that, and how do you gauge the fear? What's the actual, there's always perceived harm, actual harm. Are we running around in fear, ready to trade all of our freedoms for security to the government so they try and keep us safe? No, we don't want that. But we also have to be very aware that we have a big cultural change going on, and people are getting very angry about it. When they wiped out the Armenian Christians in World War I, they did so by they started to pass laws against them and take their property and do all of these things. And this was before, of course, the Holocaust that we always talk about. But the Armenian one, I don't know, shoved under the rug. Nobody ever talks about it. And, well, the Turkish government doesn't want us to, let's be frank. But it's embarrassing to them. But we live in a society where we can kind of see the signs and we know how things work. And I think Christians out there generally feel threatened culturally first, and then we feel like we have to live in a bubble of political correctness and let everybody and their dog move in. I'm not okay with sanctuary cities. I think they're a terrible thing, and I don't know when we started bringing that from a church to a city. I think it's ridiculous. And what it basically means is you don't have to obey the law here. I mean, they should just put a big sign, welcome to whatever state, Michigan. No laws obeyed here. Just come right in. I mean, who in their right mind wants that? And so we have to have the rule of law, yes, but we also have to have good laws. And we also, we don't have to bend over backwards. If somebody has to wait 60 days to come into this country, well, too bad. So sad. I mean, wait 60 days to come into the country. If I want to go to another country, they're not just going to let me walk in and start abusing their, systems, are they? And taking money. So we have to be able to vet. And I'm not quite sure how violent that can get. And I'm not quite sure what we're letting in or what we have let in. And yes, this is horrible. Are you kidding? The rapes that have occurred and what Europe's going through, we should be able to see this and be a little nervous about this. We're in a strange time right now. We're in a strange time with property rights, which is a core tenet of the Constitution, and losing that. When you lose that, you lose it all. Because if you don't have property rights, well now we're a third world country. We have the threat of Christina, what's her bucket, telling everybody that capitalism's on its way out and they're forming this whole new world government to oust capitalism because they want to bring on something better. It's not better, it's just control, and it's depopulation, all of these things. So we live in a strange time where we have to also be in a state of reality where we're saying perceived harm, actual harm, because if we're always in a state of fear, we can't live that way. But we do have to address the reality in which we live, and that reality can be a little scary. Let's face it. Look what's happening. You can't ignore what's going on in Europe. So
that's true.
I'm not quite sure where it lands. I'm not quite sure.
Folks, Kate Daly, pronounced correctly, katedalyradio.com. That's yeah. Dalley. .com, katedalyradio.com is our guest. Kate, very simple question. What do you think of Donald Trump as president right now?
Oh, it's a tough one. I wasn't all the way in his court, although I was silently cheering because I felt like he was not status quo. I did not want Hillary, of course, and, you know, I mean, let's just take the road straight to communism and forget the sideshow on the way. And so, do I know that presidents are heavily influenced by the deep state? Yes. Do I know that nobody gets into power without the deep state telling them what to do? Yes, but I'm hoping and was hoping for somebody that would be separate, different, make some different decisions, some calculated decisions. And if there's anyone that can stand up to it, it would be Trump, because I know that he has, sometimes ego works in a great way, doesn't it? And in his court, that might work for him. I was happy with the first 60 days, very unclear about what he's doing with the comments about Syria, because I know he's smarter than that. He's got to be smarter than that to know that we demonstrate coups. And so, is he putting people in power that he listens to that are deeply embedded into the deep state? Yes, very much could be. And that's what we might be seeing. And I'm hoping that there's been some theories out there, so I'm hoping that there might be a better game plan at play. But that's the difficult part. we don't know. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt until we have a good 6 months to a year to see what he's actually doing. But then again, my eyes are very open to the situation that has been at hand for about 120 years. So we can't ignore that either. And the CFR is alive and well, and all of these outlets, these think tanks are alive and well, and they like to get their way. So I guess we'll see it play out. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for sure, but I don't know where he lands either. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, it is. And people, there was two types of people that supported him. One type that were, you know, that believed in him and were completely for him. And then two were the people who were against Hillary Clinton. So yes, you see some of the, I don't think it's voter remorse, but I think people are starting, as you just pointed out, people are starting to question why he's making the decisions that he is making and who is influencing those decisions.
Against the status quo, Kate.
Right.
I think.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I've spoken to people close to him and have relationships with people that have his ear, and they really love him. They really, truly love him and trust him. I'm probably a little bit more cynical because when you study history, you know which trajectory this takes. And each president, if we would have seen something drastically different in the every 8 years or 4 years, then you would know that side A, whatever side that is the good guy and side B is the bad guy, right? You don't see that because for the last 120 years, it's been one trajectory and they all take the same route. That's why we have more deficit. That's why we have never had anything repealed of consequence, nothing. And that's why they're doing this on Obamacare. Exact same thing. I said, man, we have 4 years. We have a Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican President. They better do what they say they're going to do because now people are finally going to see it. Let's hope. And then what do they do on Obamacare? Well, you know, they're fudging around when all they have to do is take literally 30 minutes and repeal the darn thing because I think it was a congressman down in the South wrote a bill and it has one line: this is repealed, done. So the reason that they're jacking this around and everybody's frustrated, there's no frustration here. They made up all of those Senate rules. They made up all the rules that they claim that are preventing them from doing the things that they do. And so I'm hoping, and I don't want Trump to act like a dictator either. And so he has to obey the Constitution. But I knew coming in, I had no expectations for him and the Constitution because, frankly, that's not what he's about. He's a businessman, a negotiator. I'll give him that. And so I'm trying to see if he'll do some things in some different areas. But I think anyone in that position, I don't want anyone acting like a dictator either. So it's a fine line, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is. If we can, let's switch gears here. You know, we've been talking about the political divide in the country, the constitutional patriots versus everybody else, really.
Yes.
How do we get people, how do we bridge that gap? How do we snap people out of the brainwashed mindset that they're in wake people up? How do we get people to wake up to the common sense?
That is such a good question because you have a whole group out there, God bless them, the ones that understand the Constitution and want to get back to the Constitution. And the Constitution is actually, it wouldn't be, I mean, obviously we've gone so far off the rails, it wouldn't be that hard to get back. But people seem to be under the guise that, oh, well, that was yesterday and today's today. Basically mankind doesn't change and those are principles. They're based on principles. And what we need to understand in America is that we need to demand more. We've got to demand that our elected officials vote for freedom, because when they have a score of say 30%, that means 70% of the time they're voting against freedom. Wow. I mean, that's really how the score should be depicted. They're voting against your freedom and we just keep applauding them into office. And so the wake up for me, The President Makers by Don Fotheringham, amazing book that covers over 100 years of the presidents, who's in power, who's really in power behind the scenes. And it was just a great, fantastic book. Bastiat the Law, so we can understand what this is really supposed to look like instead of the facade that we have bought into over the years. There's a lot of probably wake-up points. I think one of the biggest wake-up points is going to be this. It's going to be in our property rights. And a lot of patriots and farmers and ranchers will understand this, because people are fighting for the right to own their property and not be told by the government what they can do on their property. And we're seeing lots of miscarriages of justice in this way. When the Bundys did what they did, the media had a byline already written for that. The FBI in Oregon had a byline written for that. They wanted to paint them in the worst case scenario that you could ever find. I mean, talk about the press on Trump. This was the same press on the Bundys and that whole entire situation, because of what they're trying to do there, which goes back to uranium and Hillary, and we could go 10 layers deep. But what's fascinating about this is the undercurrent of the that people are experiencing out there, and this probably will be the big wake-up call, is the undercurrent of what's really happening with property rights. I'm going to give you one example. In the Midwest, one of my co-hosts, I have 9 co-hosts that revolve, one of my co-hosts, her mother-in-law, was presented with a contract from the Conservation Easement Act. And what people don't understand was what they had jacked up the taxes. When you can't pay the taxes, you get this huge tax break by basically turning your land over to the Conservation Act. And they'll put up a nice little sign on your property that says, oh, always in the Smith family farm, welcome, even though the government controls it. So you get a little placard or a sign on your land. But what happens is, in the end of the contract, and she was able to read the contract because she went in with the lawyer, the contract at the bottom says that you are giving your land to the United States and its successors in perpetuity. Okay, who in the world is the successor, number one, of United States? United States is United States. The second is perpetuity, which is illegal in a contract. That's forever and ever and ever. Property rights are at the very core of who we are as Americans, to be able to build the country we have, the wealth we have, and our freedoms. A lot is tied in with property rights. If we don't observe property rights in this nation, we're down to 0.5% farmers and ranchers now in this country. And I do believe they are the salt of the earth. They really are. They're such good people. And we are not understanding that is the core of who we are. And if we ignore these people that are trying to fight for property rights, we're doing a grave injustice. The media will always paint somebody fighting for property rights in the worst possible light you can imagine. They will lie about them. They will say whatever they can say to demonize them. Do not buy it. I know those individuals. I've had them on my show, and they are not that. They were just fighting to get back to constitutional principles. And we as a nation, the biggest wake-up call that we're ever going to receive is the fact that the government usurpation of property in this country, when we know how much they're supposed to own because the Constitution says so, but they have taken it upon themselves to basically usurp property all over America, and we don't realize how much is getting taken away. And I just think it's one of the biggest wake-up calls we're going to get in this country, because it has to hit our pocketbook, or it has to hit us personally for us to really wake up, unless you're just really wanting to learn. If you're wanting to learn, pick up those books, Bastiat the Law, and have that wake-up call that we also desperately need. But like I said, if it doesn't hit us in our pocketbook, that's usually when people go, oh my gosh, you know, this is right. Remember the conspiracy theorist 50 years ago that we all laughed at? He was right. And this is exactly what's happening in America right now.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, I believe you're exactly right that not until some of the things that make our life more comfortable that are taken away will people really start to make some noise about what's going on. I mean, you see the headlines today, the feds collect record taxes and still run a deficit. This happens every quarter, just about. You know, the money's being mismanaged, the debt's increasing every president by double with the last 2-3 presidents. And, you know, the property rights is a huge thing. And that, you know, we pay, people need to understand that property tax, if you don't pay your property tax, your home can be taken away from you, even if it's paid off. So do you really own your home? And it's a...
So- property is, it's a big, big deal, and we don't see what's going on with these ranchers and farmers. You know, around the Bundys, 99 farmers went out of commission because they got bullied off their property or they just couldn't take it anymore. We don't understand how many people are silently walking away because they can't do this anymore. They can't pay the penance to the mafia, which is the government, the BLM. They can't do it anymore. And I don't blame them. It's tough. They're in a tough right just trying to inch out a living. These aren't people that want to usurp other people's rights. These are just people that want to run their own ranch and make a little bit of a profit to have a nice family and a nice home. We're taking, the government is taking that from people, and they've got to understand that they're doing it on the notion of protection and all of these things, and they want to protect the flea on a gnat on a flower, and who cares, and it's getting ridiculous. And so we have got to make people more aware of the property rights situation in this country. I mean, signing over your property to United States and its successor, that should worry all of us. Wow.
Yeah, that's very strange to see that type of language in there.
Oh, I totally agree. And the media assault, I mean, look at, okay, just going back to Syria for a moment, every single article, CNN, Fox, you name it, I'm on a Fox affiliate, but Fox, CNN, you name it, they all cite Syrian Observatory for Human Rights as their source for everything going on over in Syria right now. Do you know who that actually is? That's a guy who changed his name to Rahm Abdul Rahman, and he actually lives in England, has not spent any time living in Syria in the last 16 years, and he's telling us the body count every day. He's telling us who's hit with gas every day. These are paid propagandists. He's a guy sitting in a brick red house in London, and he is the one directing the information to the media and to the UN. This, and he tells everybody he's got a big group. He doesn't have a big group. It's just him. And here's a guy that is, if you go look in any article, I swear, you'll see Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. This is the kind of media BS that if we do not recognize this is what's happening to us, and we're listening to this garbage, the garbage on painting people that are fighting for their property rights as monsters. We are listening to the media talk about foreign policy in the way that they are. If we don't wake up to who is giving that information to the media, AP and Reuters, that's probably one of the biggest problems, is going through our cognitive dissonance, breaking through that and seeing the propaganda. It's that big. I mean, does anyone really know who Rami is? Abdul Rahman? I mean, no, because the media won't carry the story.
That to me is an amazing thing, what you just said. So, yeah. So I'm clear on this, because I've seen this, but I really didn't dig deep into this, but you have. So One guy in London, little red house.
Yep, he's a tailor. Yeah, he owns a dress shop. Yeah, he actually fled Syria in 2000 when Assad came into power, when his brother died and his dad died, okay? And so he's never lived in the same country with Assad. He is in England. He is the one that meets with the UN. He meets with all the foreign dignitaries. He meets with all of our Western media. He's feeding the stories. How does he know how many people are dying in a gas attack yesterday on the ground? But he knows, it's because he said 83. I mean, how in the world can we believe this guy? And he is. He's a paid propagandist. In fact, from the research I did, he's a Sunni. I would definitely say that he's on board with Saudi Arabia, who would love to take over Syria and root out Syria, by the way. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for drilling down on that. Because, again, what got me in one of the interviews with Assad, you know that picture of the little boy, very iconic, the symbol.
Yes.
Of, you know,
yes.
And Assad said, let me tell you about that. And that's fake.
Yes, that started the immigration debate. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Was not taken from anywhere. In fact, you know what started the Gulf War? Was the girl testifying, not the Gulf War, it was Bosnia. What started the Bosnian War was that girl. She was the daughter of the diplomat. She came out later and said, yeah, I'm just the daughter of the diplomat, and I made the whole story up. But she's the one that went into Congress, tears of floating down her face as she was talking about the horrors of people coming into her country and killing people. She made the whole thing up. That came out later. Yeah.
Absolutely. And this goes back to the original opening comments by you folks, by ladies and gentlemen. Go back and listen to this interview where Kate said, look, we got to look at history, World War One, and understand the whole process to understand where we are today. And I think that's so important, because so many people just look at everything as through today's eyes and through Western eyes. They don't look
at... Gosh, that's so true. Okay, a murder investigation. What do they look at? They look at all the steps leading up to it. They put pieces together because people have logic and they can do that, right?
That's right.
But if you do it in current events, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you for a murder, you're an investigator. I mean, my gosh, seriously? So yes, put pieces together. Understand history because we've done this coup thing so many times under the same playbook, and we still are not waking up. This guy, Rami Abdul Rahman, who changed his name to that, by the way, amazing that this guy, one guy, can infiltrate the media the way he has, and everybody uses his source as the source for what, all the garbage everybody's hearing out of the talking heads. Wow.
That is amazing to me. And folks, I guess we shouldn't really be amazed, right? I mean, but one thing we are glad for is Kate Daly, katedalyradio.com. So thankful.
We only got about 2 minutes left.
Kate, I love it. You know, I have opinion Tourette's. I admit it. I'm just up there with my opinion. I can't help it. That's why I'm not invited to parties. But I'll tell you something. Honesty is key. Be honest, and I love that you guys are honest. You say it. You're not afraid to say it. People have got to not be afraid to say things anymore. We've just got to start saying. We've been too silent too long, the vast majority of us.
Well, exactly. And I love the fact, too, I've got to ask you this, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. How old is your oldest child? Because you said something.
Yeah, my oldest is 21, and okay. I have a 27-year-old stepson, and my youngest is 14.
The reason I ask is you mentioned going to breakfast and re-education. What was it?
Yes.
Okay, I just love that idea. If everyone did that, you know what? Anyone in the families, do that. Spend some time with your children, young adult children, yes. Or you know those still young minds full of mush. Let's do
that. They'll roll their eyes. They'll roll their eyes, but they're listening.
That's
just
amazing.
Over the oatmeal, they're listening. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you've been so gracious, even when we slaughtered your name.
You guys are great. Are you kidding me? I've loved visiting with you guys. A lot of fun, actually. A lot of fun. Thank you.
You're great. And I'll tell you, I'm going to tune in tomorrow. The Kate Show on the Blaze. Tomorrow, it's Assad did not gas his own people, is the title.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to be tuned in. All right. Well, thank you, Kate. Kate Daly.
Thank you so much.
God
appreciate
bless.
It.
All right. Wow, folks. And John Robertson, thank you so much for arranging that interview. And, I'll have to send her like a gift basket or something. Joe and I both will. You for calling her Kim Delaney, I think, or going in that direction, and me calling, Kate
Daly.
Like Valley with a D, Kate Daly Radio. KateDalyRadio.com.
When we come back, L.A. Marzulli will be with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after the short messages.
Oh, we got 30 seconds? See, this is... Okay, folks, understand. If I could turn the camera and show, this is why. Because we don't have that clock anymore because...
But we have the clock.
We have a thief in this. We don't, the program clock, it was always there.
It was always there. But we have program clocks on our computer, so.
No, you do.
You do, too.
I don't know where it is.
Not convenient. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.